Welcome back to Ramsey's Recaps. Happy welcome New Year. Back. We did it.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. You stopped stewing. Now I'm back up to nothing.
Congratulations. If you're listening to this, you've survived another year on this earth. I welcome you to 2024.
Hell yeah, brother.
About 2.5 weeks too late, but you know, we're here. We're doing it. We're living large in the new year. I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah, you know, my review of the year so far is that it's happening.
Yeah, my review of the year so far, pretty cold. Just cold. Just mostly cold.
Courtney lives in a cold place. I live in a place where the temperature could not be more average. So I've been neither cold nor hot. I've been nothing. I've been...
You live in a balmy homeostasis. 65.
Yeah.
That's cold for San Diego, I feel like, though.
Don't out where I live, Courtney, even though we've talked about it before.
Everyone knows you live in San Diego, and everyone
knows
you live in New York. Courtney
doxed me.
Guess what? They're very large places.
I can't believe you just read my social security number out into the internet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
That's the one. You got it. That's the number.
She lives on 123 Fake Street in Penisville, Indiana.
God damn it, Courtney. That's too correct. You can't just be sharing my real, actual address out to everybody.
Happy New Year. We dox ourselves. That sounds like a shitty trend on YouTube from, like, 12 years ago.
It absolutely sounds like a clickbait title. Oops, we dox ourselves. Not fake. Real. Clickbait. Not clickbait.
And then the thumbnail is just us, like, shrugging really dramatically with, like, big cartoon eyes.
Yes.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Ramsey's Recaps. I'm glad you're still here with us and recapping Ramsey. We got through the new season, full of new twists, turns, and surprises. There was a whole brand new season of Kitchen Nightmares last year, which is crazy. Remember that?
Yeah, who would have thought that Gordon would come back swinging? I'm surprised he had time to do that, frankly.
Well, and now he's doing a fucking YouTube show with Good Mythical Morning.
That's right. That's right, you sent me that link that I totally clicked on and read.
Oh, I didn't read it. It was just, like, a screenshot.
I think that's going to be good, though. I love how they... Good Mythical Morning, the YouTube channel with Rhett and Link, for those unfamiliar. We're about to, like, talk about a bunch of niche things that only we know about.
But so many people watch Good Mythical Morning. They have a bajillion followers.
I love that they got rid of Trevor instantly and replaced him with
Gordon Ramsay. Trevor move on to Smosh, and then they said, let's bring in Gordon now.
Well, because I listened to Trevor on the Smosh cast, and he specifically said, like, I don't know if I resonate with Rhett and Link's followers because I'm, like, so young and Gen Z and, like, annoying, and I think they think I'm annoying because they say in the comments that I'm annoying, and that's why I think that. So, to pivot from that to Gordon Ramsay.
Very funny. Very good. So, speaking of Gordon Ramsay, we're back. We're back to, like, the old seasons of Kitchen Nightmares. We're picking up where we left off when I accidentally stopped doing this podcast for 2 years. Whoops. So
yeah, it's back before I was born.
Yeah, this is before you were born. That's crazy. So we're back to season 3, episode 9 or 10, depending on who you ask, honestly. Hulu says it's episode 10. Google will tell you it's episode 9. I think it just, some of them count the revisiteds and some don't. So, like, who knows? Also, if there's, like, extra noise in my audio this time, I am not in my quiet apartment in Brooklyn. I am in a loud apartment in Chelsea, cat sitting. So, sorry, not sorry.
Congratulations.
Literally facing the street where all of the sirens go by. So, yeah, we're back to the old episodes. We're doing episodes that I don't think, Alana, you've seen a lot of these, or maybe you've
watched
a bunch. Okay, cool. Yeah, because you were texting me, like, trying not to spoil it, and I was like, Alana, I have seen each of these episodes at least 20 times.
Like, I forget that this was, like, your comfort. I forget that this is what your Kardashians is.
Yeah, that is a great way to put it. This is my Real Housewives, even though I do watch that too sometimes.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, this is your Gordon the Ramsay, Kardashians.
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay is my Kardashian, honestly. Gordon Hive, where are you at? They're out there. People fucking love Gordon Ramsay, obviously. He has $5 bajillion in shows.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, I really thought I had a follow-up. I said yes so enthusiastically, and I really didn't. Yeah, but then I had nothing.
Let it be known we're also recording this. I feel like when we're at our craziest, because it's like late on a Monday night, at least for me. But you've had a wild last like week and a half.
Yes, I have. I've been at the zoo for a lot of hours today.
And you were at Disneyland like 4 times last week.
Here I am complaining about how busy I am because I was doing exclusively fun things.
But it's still like exhausting, especially when like a lot of those you were kind of forced to go to.
Yeah, the zoo was a last minute thing. I have family from London that came in and I was kind of expected to like drop everything and spend time with them, which was fine. I actually enjoyed my time with them. But it was at the expense of like doing other things like work and sleeping.
Yeah. And I am currently in the midst of sound designing a show, so I've just been like on my computer all day, so my eyes hurt. I should wear my glasses. I keep forgetting I have those.
Oh my god, you have to wear your glasses.
I know, but they give me a headache still when I wear them because I don't wear them enough.
But they also give you a headache when you don't wear them.
I know. All things I know.
Disaster.
So speaking of knowing it all, we're in, I believe, Pasadena, California, visiting the Kingston Cafe, owned by Olympic athlete and radiologist Dr. Una Morris.
Oh my god, I missed the Olympic athlete part. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, that was a big thing. She was in a sprinter she represented Jamaica in the Olympics in, like, the 60s and 70s.
Oh my god!
I don't think she medaled. I think she got, like, fourth a couple times, but she medaled in, like, still,
that
things.
Fourth in the world! Oh my god, how did I miss that part?
Yeah, oh yeah, she's, like, crazy, like, decorated and smart and, like... Like, she worked fucking hard to get where she was at.
I knew about the doctor, but the Olympics part, just, I don't know how I missed that. Damn.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. It's really crazy.
So, she opened the restaurant in 1992 because she enjoyed cooking and because she wanted to, like, bring a Jamaican restaurant into an area where there weren't any. And, you know, she's like, I'm from Jamaica. I'm an Olympic athlete and a doctor. What the fuck can't I do? Let me open a restaurant. So, like, you go, girl.
Yeah. My God, my respect for her just skyrocketed. Like, it was already somewhat so high, but now I'm like, good Lord.
Sorry. They do make a point to, like, kind of make fun of her for making everyone call her Dr. Morris. But, like, bitch, if I worked for 20 years or whatever to get my doctorate to become a fucking doctor, you will be calling me doctor, okay?
Like, yes. I agree.
She has earned
that
right to become doctor. I know she's in a kitchen, but she's doctor.
Well,
thank you.
Maybe it was the editing, but when they did when she introduced herself to Gordon, she did say... like first name, but everybody here does call me Dr. Morris. She did the opposite of like, I'm Dr. Morris, but you can I'm Dr. Feynman, you can call me Bob. She did the opposite.
But you know what, iconic. So
yeah, word, that is also true.
Una's son Keone manages the restaurant, but they butt heads a lot. They do not get along. He thinks he's right. She thinks she's right. He wants to do things like fresh, modern, like level up the restaurant, at least in the editing. They really like favored him in the editing over her, which is why like up top, this is not one of my favorite episodes of Kitchen Nightmares because of the way that they edit this and because of the relationship between her and her son and her and her staff. I feel like they villainize her a lot in this episode, which I don't love because she is, you know, a hard-working, strong-willed black woman, and I feel like they try to, like, take this angle on her of, like, she needs to, like, blood up a bit, and she does. Like, she is, like, wrong in a lot of aspects, at least in the way they edit it, but I don't love that they try to make everyone else around her look smarter and right at the same time.
You know?
If that makes sense.
That did not occur to me to think about it that way. I just bought into the propaganda and was like, yeah, she sucks. So that's on me.
And she might. She might completely suck and, like, turn around by the end of it. But I feel like she was just being defensive because everyone was attacking her, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the editing did a good job of it.
Yeah.
Because she did say some actually bananas things. Like, she did say some things that were completely incorrect.
But the way she runs her kitchen is bananas as well. Like, I'm not denying that. Like, yeah. The bags and the martini glasses are, like, weird.
Like, but you're right that, like, I was under the impression that, like, the son was actually perfect. And we were just ignoring him. So.
Yeah, because we'll get to it later. But in the one-on-one she has with Gordon, she mentions that he's not around as much as he claims to be. So, and we don't ever, like, expand on that further.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to me. So, that's just my two cents at the top of this. We'll dive in as we go. please let me know if I'm wrong. Like, I'm open to other opinions on this episode. Unless you're, like, going to be weird and misogynistic, and then you can shut up.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
So, Kiyone kind of manages the restaurant. They butt heads a lot. He thinks she is the problem because she doesn't want to change anything. She thinks he is the problem because he is just, like, overbearing to her or, like, keeps pushing her buttons in ways. Server Matt, who I believe is the British one, love him.
Yes.
Love Matt. I hope he was, like, trying to be an actor or something. I hope he got a role out of this because he seems very goofy, you know?
Yeah, he had a good attitude.
And he was so sweaty, which I understand as a sweaty person.
Oh, he was really sweaty.
I would also be sweating my fucking balls off if I had to serve Gordon Ramsay. Are you kidding me?
That's,
Alana,
yeah.
I want you to imagine Gordon Ramsay comes into your restaurant and you're supposed to serve him.
Yeah, you know, I have to assume that these days, if he's coming in, you either knew about it ahead of time because there's cameras everywhere, or he bought out the restaurant previously, you know? I don't think he's just, like,
yeah,
showing up casually.
But imagine he did, though. You know, like, this is just also, like... No, but you have to take into account that this episode came out in, like, 2012, 2013. So this is, like, pre-TikTok, YouTube famous.
That's right. This is where there's only Twitter.
Yeah, this is only, like, network television famous Gordon Ramsay. He's not
internet famous
yet. He's not a meme yet.
You're right.
I would be a little starstruck because it's like that's a TV celebrity, you know? Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
Now if he came into my restaurant and I was serving him, he'd be like, what the fuck are you doing here?
You are far from home.
It's like, sir, this is not your kind of place. Why are you here? So Una does micromanage a lot. She's always sticking her fingers into like the foods and stuff and like picking at the dishes because they don't look the way she wants them to look. Matt says that the entire staff get nervous when they're around her because they had a lot of cooks leaving the restaurant because of her. Head chef Daniel describes how hard it is doing his job because she is micromanaging him a lot. He also seems a little like kind of a dick but that was like more towards the end when he was just getting frustrated because he wasn't doing his job correctly and they were yelling at him about it.
Yeah, he didn't seem like a dick to me until that point.
Yeah, but up until then, there's also the line cook. I don't remember her name. She was really cool. Every time they cut to her, she was just complaining about the bags.
Like, yeah, I did appreciate her. She was very funny.
I feel
actually.
Like her name was like Rachel or something, because every time they cut to her, she was like, oh, I hate the bags. Like,
yeah, that was true. That was very true.
Una believes that she is like God's gift to Jamaican food, kind of. Like, she doesn't think anyone can do it as good as she can. She does say the line, you can't cook Jamaican food fresh every day, which is ridiculous. Like, I'm sure you can. I don't actually know. I've never cooked Jamaican food. But, like, I've eaten it, and it seemed pretty fresh and delicious. Like,
no,
chicken
very
actually
much,
is not that hard to cook.
Very much, pretty much every cuisine ever prides themselves on it being fresh. Like, no one is like,
yeah,
it's better when you've frozen it for 3 days. Like, no, actually, unless it's like a dessert, you know? No one's actually priding themselves on serving yesterday's chicken.
Yeah, when it's stuff like chicken wings and like rice, I don't want like 4 day old rice. Unless
yeah,
it's like
rice
a fried
that's
rice.
Just been bacon in the rice cooker.
rice that is just red beans and rice. Like, you don't want, like, 4-day-old red beans and rice. You want fresh red beans and rice.
You do.
When it's hot. Well, we'll get to the temperature of the food in a minute, too. So, they barely get up to 5 tables a day. Una's retirement money is almost gone. She's maxed out her credit cards. And so, they're, like, at the end. Kyone is the one, and they say this in the episode, Kyone is the one who called Gordon. And Una was like, yeah, last resort, call him, whatever, we'll fucking do it. So, she just, like, fully gave in to that. Which, honestly, is, like, good on her part. That does show, like, willingness to try things, you know?
Yeah.
And also, maybe she's fully desperate, too. Which, like, I get.
Yeah.
If I had $300,000 sunk into a restaurant that wasn't doing well, I would also be freaking out.
Yes.
Fair points by all. So, before Gordon goes into the restaurant, he meets Kyone. They drive around, and Kyone tells him that the biggest problem in the restaurant is Una's management style. The way that she runs the kitchen, basically. Gordon nearly drives by the place as they're getting closer, because it does look like a house from the outside. And also, her doctor's office, where she does doctor stuff, is literally next door.
Which, like, is so convenient.
Which is convenient, but also insane. Like, what is this, like, weird strip mall where it's just a Jamaican restaurant and a doctor's office?
That's a ton of property to own.
I mean, yeah. It does seem like it's her office, like, her private practice, too.
Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah.
Except
for the debt. He drops Kyone off, and then he parks, and then he goes through the, like, foyer of this home restaurant. Which, like, maybe it is weird. I feel like it wasn't that weird to me to see a restaurant that looks like a house, because there were so many of those in fucking Tacoma. Like, on Proctor, like, near our college, there was just, like, 4 restaurants that were just, like, in a house, it looked like.
Yeah, that particular thing didn't really bother me either. I mean, Southern California is, like, home of the strip mall. When you're in the suburbs of it, so it is, like, a little out of character to see, but, like, not enough for me to care.
If anything, they should be using that to their advantage, though. Like, look how cute and kitschy our restaurant is. Like, we're not in a strip mall, we're a house. You know? Like, lean into it. So, he is greeted by Una in the dining room. She reveals that she does everything at the restaurant. She designed the menu, she makes the sauces, she, like, cooks, she cleans, she does everything. He sits down to order, and the menu is, like, weird. It, like, folds out weird, and it's huge. Like, it is a huge menu. He also notes
that it's always a huge menu.
They always
menu.
Are. They're, I mean, it doesn't matter how big your menu is or how small it is. To Gordon Ramsay, it'll always be too big. So, yes. You know.
That's true.
He also complains about the look of the restaurant. He says it feels very sterile in there. It feels like a hospital.
Okay, controversial opinion. I really didn't think it was that bad. Like, obviously it was better after the remodel, but it looked like a restaurant to me. I didn't care. I didn't think it was that bad.
They could have used some, like, more plants or something in there, but, like, it was fine. Like, you know, it's a restaurant.
And he was, like, really harping on it. He talks about it multiple times, about how terrible it looks in there. I'm like, I don't know, man.
This
place has got enough problems where you don't have to, like, make shit up.
No, this is a running issue in these old episodes where whenever the restaurant is a specific cuisine, he wants the restaurant to, like, look like it should have that cuisine there, you know? Like, if he's in a Puerto Rican restaurant, he's always like, it's too bland in here. Where's the Puerto Rican flavor, the flair? So if he's in a Jamaican restaurant, he's like, I want to be in the Caribbean. I want you to take me to Jamaica. And then, like, okay, but not every restaurant has to look like the cuisine that they're doing. Sometimes the restaurant just looks like a restaurant.
You and I personally have been into some, like, really, like, shitty looking, like, Vietnamese restaurants that make excellent pho.
Oh my god, the ones in Tacoma look like fucking, like, hospital waiting rooms, and
they look bad. There's nothing on the wall. It's, like, metal chairs, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, all they have on the walls is, like, pictures of the food you're about to eat, you know? And that's the place you want to go to.
If I'm going to, like,
it's good.
Yeah, if it's, like, casual dining, like, it seemed like this place kind of was, it, like, doesn't matter all that much.
Yeah, it's not a fucking Olive Garden. They don't have to look like they're in Tuscany. Like,
yeah.
And even then, an Olive Garden, not that decorated. It looks like a fucking restaurant.
Yeah.
So, he orders the Jamaican patties, the jerk chicken, and the oxtail stew. He gets the patties first. He says that they're gross and soggy. He hates the jerk sauce. He makes sure that it doesn't come on any of his later dishes. He made it very clear he does not like that sauce. The dough on the patties was, like, not cooked enough, so it was just, like, mushy inside with, like, doughy outside, so no good. I've actually never had a Jamaican patty, I feel. They look like empanadas.
Yeah, the biggest thing is that he kept, like, he didn't like the food because it was bland and didn't taste like anything. And for Jamaican food, for Caribbean food, it can't be bland. That's the whole thing. Like, it has to taste better than white people food.
I mean, that would be like going to an Indian restaurant and saying, like, the food is bland. Like, how, what do you mean? You're supposed to use, like, 30 spices.
Yeah, it really is, like, unexcusable. That food can't be bland. Like,
and the other problem was all the food was cold, too. So, like, it was bland, it was cold, it was dry. The chicken was dry, which they made a whole argument about because, like, Jamaican chicken, I guess, is dry. But, like, the chicken itself isn't supposed to be dry. It's just a dry rub that they use. But when you smoke it, it's supposed to lock the juices into the meat. But the problem is when you're serving, like, 3-day-old chicken and it's been in the fridge in a bag, all the juice is gone. You've ruined it. So it's like, you can't, that's just like, yeah, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know how else to explain it. Like,
I know what you mean. And that's what matters.
Thank you. And then he says the oxtail is just all cartilage, which I've actually never had oxtail.
I assume haven't it's either.
It always seems like one of those dishes that I would like, but the look of it always like weirds me out a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe it's something where the texture is weird, but if it's going to be texture that's better than cartilage, it's probably just like looks like normal pot roast to me if I had to guess.
Yeah, but I think it usually comes on the bone. I could be wrong. I have no idea. It should theoretically be delicious, though. Like, it's a stew, which actually sounds really good because I'm cold. So, Kiane feels very vindicated by what Gordon's saying because I guess this is stuff he's been saying for, like, months or something. Years. Who knows? Gordon meets with them in the kitchen and gives them the feedback about the cold dining room, the soulless food, and that he felt embarrassed by it all. He always feels embarrassed by everything. And I'm like, I don't know why you feel embarrassed. It's not your place. So...
Yeah. Everyone's always embarrassed when Gordon Ramsay comes in and tells them they suck. They're like, oh, I'm so embarrassed that he says that we suck, even though they are the ones that called Gordon Ramsay to get on Kitchen Nightmares, which is what I feel every time. But anyway.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's how everyone feels every episode. It's like, you called him. Why are you mad?
Yeah, he's doing you a favor that you asked him to do.
But it's also, like, not good TV for them to come in and be like, yeah, I called you. I know it's bad. Like, I
that's
need you
also
to fix
true,
it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not good TV. So, Kione tries to interrupt to tell Gordon that he thinks that everything should be cooked fresh, but Una is like, stop talking. And then Gordon is also being cut off by Una to say that he says the chicken is dry. She tells Gordon it's meant to be dry because that's how jerk chicken's made in Jamaica. Gordon tells her it was so dry that it was inedible. And then he kind of leaves for the day and says, I'll be back for dinner service. And then he wanders off into Pasadena for...
Yeah, they really were both very mean to each other.
Yeah. Everyone was very mean to each other. Especially this first dinner service. They're all very mean to each other. Like, Gordon, too. Like,
yeah, Gordon, I thought, was almost a little too mean.
He does call her crazy at one point, and it's like, Gordon, yeah, that's unacceptable. Like, you can't call a woman crazy.
You really
can't. Not in her establishment. Not where she works and lives. Gordon returns to... in the evening to observe dinner service, and the first thing we see is the complimentary salad being sent to everyone at every table. And Alana, I want you to describe the salad for the listeners.
So, I don't want you to freak out because I have a hot take about this.
Oh, please, go for it.
Well, so
I just think it's a funny way to do it.
The salad was like... it was like a house salad, right? It had like, you know, like spring mix and like tomatoes and like a dressing that they made. And they did like put the dressing first. So, I mean, the receptacle they used was a martini glass, which is weird.
It's so weird.
It's weird. I didn't hate it. I was like, there's something here, actually. Like, maybe this is not how, but like, this is not entirely... out of the realm of, like, possibility for me.
A margarita glass would have been easier to eat out of.
I mean, yeah, the martini glass is not the right glass. I think we can find other things that are exciting. I think they should have put something else, some other liquid appetizer in a martini glass, and that would have been kind of fun. Anyway, I digress. So, martini glass, they put, like, the dressing on the bottom first, mm-hmm. and then put on the salad, so that that salad
they did,
is
like, a
soggy,
you know, when
shit.
Girls make their, they make their iced coffee, and they do the caramel swirl?
Yeah.
That's what they did with the salad dressing in these martini glasses.
So it was like, you know, like, hot take, kind of a good idea with a poor delivery. Because just by the time that salad gets out, it's soggy as shit because it's sauced from the bottom. It's got a nice soggy bottom.
A bottom.
But yeah, also...
Now I'm, like, thinking of how I would do it, you know?
It's the textural... I'm a person where, like, I... absolutely cannot stand the sound of metal utensils scraping against a plate. It makes my skin crawl. I cannot imagine the horrific noise it makes when you do that with, like, a metal fork on a glass martini glass. The sound,
oh, I think
of that
plastic.
Those makes
plastic.
Me want to die. Okay, plastic
are...
is better.
Is it? I think execution-wise... switch it to a margarita glass, make it, like, a fun, like, Mexican salsa yes salad, and then you have, like, a fun little receptacle for it.
Well, a margarita glass, isn't that just, like, a pint glass? Or do you mean, like a coupe?
No, like the fun curved one.
Oh, like yeah, one. No, that would have made more sense, yes.
Because then it's a rounded bottom, so it's easier to eat out of.
I agree.
Or just
okay,
do a fucking
yeah.
wine glass, like a red wine glass, like a big one.
Yeah, it's just, you can't get a fork... on a sloped, like, bottom of a martini glass is the problem.
No.
You could with a spoon, but you wouldn't be able to with a fork. And
nobody
it,
eats
I mean,
salads with a spoon.
It didn't really match with, like, a Jamaican aesthetic, but I was like, I don't hate this. I don't hate it as much as Gordon hates it. It is kind of weird, but it's kind of, like, funky fresh weird.
What's that restaurant in L.A. that serves everything weirdly, like, not on a plate? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, they'll one of their appetizers is, like, popcorn, but they serve it to you in a popcorn machine.
Oh, I almost know. There's a few places like that.
I know there's a few, but, like, there's, like, one famous one that I can't... I've heard the food is terrible, but, like, it's fun to go there, you know?
Yeah, you know those, like, gastronomy places where they're like, here's your bourbon, but it's served in the form of, like, a gas cloud, and you whiff it, you know? Like...
with it.
Here's
oh
your
my God,
salad,
that was like...
but we compressed it into, like, a lotion.
Yeah, this is your salad lotion. You must rub it on your tongue and massage it gently.
Yeah, two bits that I just ripped directly from an episode of Parks and Rec. I didn't come up with that.
Whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
I said Mexican salsa yes, which is also from Smosh, so, you know.
I hope if anyone listening has not watched Smosh videos, and not just, like, Smosh with, like, the sketches that Ian and Anthony do, like, Smosh Pit, like, you're gonna have to watch them, because that's our humor right now. Courtney and I have mind-melded into where that's the only media we consume.
Truly. Like, I only watch... I don't know why I pay for any streaming service. I do pay
and
for YouTube.
I absolutely adopt the, like, vocal tics and, like, mannerisms of the people that I'm around, which includes the media I listen to. So if I listen to, like, a particular podcast, I'll start saying things that they say on that podcast. If I watch a lot of videos, same. I'll start picking up some of the language that they use on those videos. And right now it's Smosh, so... Next consultant.
It's even worse when... this is also very niche. I watch a lot of Game Grumps, which you are slowly getting into, but Game Grumps, like, they will sing a lot while they're playing games, and those songs will get, like, remixed into, like, kind of fun songs. So I'll just start singing those songs, but they're always about fucking dicks, so then I'm just, like, mumbling a song about dicks to myself that nobody else fucking understands.
I will say that the more Game Grumps I watch, the more I realize that, like, as just listeners, as we talk about people that you don't know, there have been so many instances where you, Michael, and Allegra have, like the three of you have been talked, and one of you makes a joke that makes me laugh so hard, and then I watch an old Game Grumps video where they said that, and, like, they said the joke first, and I'm like, oh, okay, I just thought you guys were organically funny.
No, I am entirely just a carbon copy of everything I've ever watched. I've never had an original thought in my life.
No, me either. Not one. Not once.
But guess what? I delivered it funnily, which means it was still funny, so check on that. It's all about the delivery, baby.
Okay. So, all right.
Back to the delivery of food in this restaurant. The customers do not like the salad. Gordon tells them to put it in a bowl, and so they do. The end. He then looks through the fridges and discovers that everything is, like, portioned out perfectly to order in, like, bags. Like, plastic bags. Like, Ziploc bags.
Yeah, like more Ziploc gallon bags.
Like, there's so much plastic in every drawer and nook and cranny of this fucking restaurant. Una doesn't see a problem with it, but Gordon is like, you're running your restaurant like a hospital, and you can't do that because they don't run the same. But Una just, like, walks away. Gordon walks around opening fridges and cupboards and stuff, just going, oh my god, oh my god. And then Una's like, if you keep saying, oh my god, Jesus himself is gonna appear. Like, which is honestly very funny. They have a big fight in the kitchen, Gordon, Una, and Keanu, and nothing really gets resolved, and everyone kind of leaves being miserable. So Gordon visits Una the next day at the doctor's office next door at her medical practice, and he kind of, like, lays it out for her, like, you're so accomplished, you're so, like, well-rounded, you've done so much in your life, why are you refusing any help now when you clearly need it? Like, why do you refuse? Why are you so stubborn, is what he keeps saying. And she's like, I'm not stubborn. Everyone just keeps, like, hounding on her, and they don't understand the position she's in, like, financially, and she doesn't trust her son fully to run the restaurant because he's been flaky before. And Gordon's like, okay, well, you need to, like, express that to them. Like, you need to tell Keone how you're feeling. You need to tell him that shit's on the line. Like, you need to be willing and open to, like, take advice. And from that point on, Una likes Gordon. Like, from that point on, basically, they're, like, besties.
I'm a little premenstrual right now. And I did tear up. I teared up at the heart-to-heart. I did.
Yeah.
I absolutely did. And I texted Courtney, and I was like, I'm tearing up. And you were like, why? Because sad? And I was like, yeah, because of the sad part.
Because she does start crying, and she's like, you know, I've tried really hard to be, like, a mom, because, like, my mom died when I was 10. I didn't have that. I really wanted to be that for my kids. And she, like, kind of expresses that she doesn't like that she and Keone fight all the time. Like, she doesn't like that they have this, like, kind of, like, headbutt relationship, you know, and it really hurts her.
Yeah.
And so, like, she kind of breaks down and starts crying, and Gordon's like, it's gonna be okay. Like, we're gonna sort it through. I'll talk to Keone, but you need to be open to changes, basically. And she's like, yeah, okay. And from this point on, she's much better, honestly. Or they just edited her better. I don't know. So next, Gordon sits down with Keone, who does admit that he's not as committed to the restaurant as he was when it first opened. He says that the relationship he has with his mother now is so strained, and he doesn't, like, feel like he's very welcome in the restaurant because it feels like a competition between him and his mom. Which, like, having a mom who's, like, doctor athlete, I could understand her putting a lot of pressure on her kids to also be, like, overachievers too, you know? Like,
yeah, I buy that as well.
I buy that narrative that he also is trying really hard to, like, make his mom proud, and he knows he's not doing it, and he, like, is burnt out, because as a former talented and gifted kid, I understand. So Keone agrees to help his mother out because, you know, he wants this restaurant to succeed. You have to remember, in these old episodes, there are usually two dinner services before the relaunch night. In the newer episodes, they only did one dinner service before relaunch night, which I found weird. But maybe that's just because I'm used to this format.
That didn't occur to me. It did feel longer to me, and I guess that's why it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they usually would do dinner service number one, which is, like, just get to know the restaurant. Dinner service number two would be a small improvement on something, just to see and get them, like, comfortable with the idea of change. And then dinner service number three would be a full relaunch. So we see that here, because in dinner service number two, Gordon introduces a special barbecue menu in the backyard with, like, meat, fish, veggies, rice, all cooked by Keone and, like, a couple other line cooks out back. And then in the kitchen, they're still using the same stuff they were using before, and it's basically to show Una, like, people are going to prefer the fresh cooked stuff over your bag of rice from yesterday.
Yeah, it, like, felt dramatic, but, like...
It usually is. It usually is, like, over the top for no reason. But, like, it was, like, very clear. The people who liked the barbecue and got the barbecue were, like, happy, and the people who got the old menu were sad and mad. So, like, it did its job, you know?
Yeah.
So afterwards, Gordon meets with the staff, and he brings in a wheelbarrow of plastic bags of food and just dumps it on the floor for no reason. Just to show them, like, this is where you keep your food. Why do we do this? And then he makes them clean it up.
I, like, felt bad about that, because, yeah, he brought it out in a wheelbarrow, and he was like, I've been thinking about this since I showed up here the first time. And poor Una was like, yeah, just all I could think of was that that's dollars. Yeah. He's just, like, dumping the money that she doesn't have that she, like, worked hard to pay.
I do wonder if they give them any money. I don't think so. I wish
probably
they
not, like, then. They probably no. would now.
Like, here's $5,000, like, stay open another month, I hope it works out, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I felt like they were doing that in the newer season. They were, like, paying for people's culinary school and shit, right? Like,
yeah. I feel like that started more in his, like, later shows, like, later renovation shows. Once, you know, they have the Gordon Ramsay TikTok money, so. So, Una feels like it's a waste of money to, like, change everything because of all the food they have already, but she's willing to change, so she accepts Gordon's, like, changes. Overnight, the restaurant is transformed. There's a new sign out front that's bigger and easier to see, so people know there's a restaurant there. They painted the interior, like, a nice blue color. They put in, like, lots of plants. They gave it, like, a beachy feel. And then they gave the servers new t-shirts so that they don't have to wear, like, ties and white button-downs anymore. Which I don't know why they were wearing that to begin with. This is, like, not a fine dining restaurant.
Yeah, he was good about, like, giving them the chance to not... To like, bring it back to casual dining. I think that vibe works better for everybody. And then when he was like, oh, black hides your sweat better, Matt.
Oh my god, poor Matt. What a trooper. I love him. So, Una... Now it's Una's turn. She walks around going, oh my god, oh my god. And then Gordon's like, Una, if you keep saying oh my god, he's gonna appear. Just a little fun joke between pals there. So then, relaunch night happens. Things are starting off well with appetizers, but then soon tickets pile up, and Chef Daniel gets behind, and the quality starts to drop. He tries to send out a burnt cod or something, and Gordon, like, throws it at him. It's very dramatic. And so, Keone steps in to help solve problems. Una tries to, like, overstep him and, like, kick him out or something, or, like, try to help too. He keeps trying to kick her out. Gordon goes to her and is like, hey, just let him do it. Like, let him try. And she's like, fine, fine. Like, he's running the restaurant. I will just, like, walk around and talk to customers. And then everything gets back on track. I don't think Keone was particularly good at communicating with his chef, though. Like, he just was like, how many shrimp do you have in there? You can fit another shrimp in there. And the chef was like, no, I can't. And he's like, yeah, put another shrimp in there. It's like, what are you talking about? Like,
I got real confused on this whole part. Because, yeah, Daniel was, like, losing his shit. Daniel was slacking off. But I couldn't figure out, like, he was sending out food that was wrong. And his, like, confessionals to the camera were like, I know I'm fucking up. And I, like... It didn't seem like anything that needed, like, someone to step in and help. But then he did step in and help, but, like, what did he do? He just, like, continued to, like, speak words. And then Daniel just, like, magically got better. This whole sequence was confusing. It's like, I feel like we're making up our problem.
Truly. Like, it felt like they were trying to figure out a way to show that Kiyone, like, should be running this restaurant. But, like, I didn't buy it, you know?
No,
like,
I wasn't sure what was happening. Yeah, I didn't know what Daniel's deal was. The chef. Yeah, I didn't know what Daniel, like, I didn't know why he was, like, melting down, but not melting down. Something was cut weird. I don't know. I didn't get it.
Yeah. Either way, relaunch night was ultimately a success, and then Gordon leaves happy, and he tells Una before he leaves that she either needs to let Kiyone manage the restaurant and be more involved, or let him go. You gotta choose one, you can't have both. So, in the, like, post-credits, little, like, 2 months later thing, we find out that Una did tell Kiyone to go focus on his education so she can run the restaurant herself, so he's no longer involved. And things seem to be going well. She's following all of Gordon's plans. She calls him Coach Ramsay, which is funny.
I didn't think that was funny. I laughed at that. No, so I did. Okay. Did it? I said I did. I heard didn't. I heard what that sounded like. No, I very much thought that was funny. I did like that.
I do think that, like, treating him like a coach probably helped her, like, let go of her, like, control better, too. Of, like, no, this is somebody who's just here to, like, tell me how it is, teach me how to do it, and then let me do it myself, you know?
Yeah.
So... That's the end of the episode. What happened next thing, but we'll do that in a minute after we discuss.
Yeah, it really threw me off that after all that, she told Kiyone that, like, he should not work at the restaurant. Like, Gordon was really good about, like, at the end of the day, it's your choice, but he really stepped up. And then the next sentence, the next voiceover sentence is, she told him to focus on his education, and he took a step back. And I was like, oh, okay. Not where they led us to believe it was going to go.
Yeah, okay. It makes me wonder what actually happened between the two of them. If they did have, like, a falling out or something, and he left, or if she was just like, no, I want to do this my way, I don't want you here, let me do this. Go do what you actually want to do with your life or something. I don't know.
I am hoping that it was just that she strikes me as a woman who values education.
Yeah.
I think it's what my parents would do, where in the event that my parents ran a restaurant, which, like, they would never, and I
imagine it.
Wanted to, instead of going to college, step up and, like, work in the restaurant as, like, a manager, they'd be like, finish your education first. Because they have worked very hard to save a college fund for me. So they're like, you should go. We'll go to that.
Yeah.
So my guess is, based on the kind of person that Una is, it was probably similar.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really know what to make of the end of this. Like, I know this also happened, like, literally 10 years ago. So, like, who cares? But, like, it's just, it feels like such a weird episode to me still. Like, even watching it again... I know why, like, this isn't one that I watch very often, and I just, I don't know, it's not satisfying to watch. Like, I don't feel like they actually accomplished anything. I feel like they just shuffled everything around and painted it a new color and said it's better now, but I don't think anything was actually, like, fixed.
I mean,
Gordon's also not a therapist, so, like, that's not his job.
I thought that she came around.
I thought she did, too. Like, I thought, I'm more saying, like, none of the relationships were, like, sorted out like they tend to be on these episodes.
Well, I think that they, like, I have to trust that, like, they're not editing out. I don't think that they would edit out, like, relationships that were crumbling, you know? I think, my guess is that, like, she clearly had her trauma, you know? Like, she had, like, perhaps a strained relationship with her son. But that, like, the only information we have is that was because she was potentially projecting something from her own trauma, you know? Which happens. You know, we only really got her side of that, so it's like, oh, we can go off of. But the thing that really needed to change was her, and she needed just, like, a different attitude. And then she got there, and I'm like, okay. They weren't, like, screaming at each other that much. It's not, like, any of the Chef Bobby stuff we've seen. I don't, like... I think that perhaps the relationships weren't as strained as we've seen.
Yeah, honestly, the best option is the most boring one, which is that...
Yeah, otherwise, we said, probably would have focused more on that.
Yeah. Which I guess is that, like, she said, go to college, and he said, okay.
Yeah.
You know, with, like, an eye roll.
I think that if she couldn't handle the restaurant, she might have asked him to stay. I think she had come around enough to realize that, like, you know, because she realized that Gordon was helping her. You know, once she realized that Gordon was not fighting her, Gordon was trying to help her, that changed the game. So, that's what I think.
Well, do you want to know what happened next?
Yes, I do.
So, there is a revisited episode, which I don't tend to do on the podcast because it's just a recap of a recap, which is stupid. So, there's a revisited episode later in probably a different season where he comes back to the Kingston Cafe and he finds out that Kiana is no longer involved because he's focusing on his education. She has also fired all the chefs and serving staff and rehired all new staff, so Matt's not there anymore, which sucks for Matt.
Oh, that's a confusing choice.
Gordon says the food is fresh, delicious, and more spicy. He then meets the new head chef, Christy, and Una is still very appreciative of his help. Yelp reviews and TripAdvisor reviews were very mixed after the show. Customers, both positive and negative reviews on the food quality and the level of service received. It closed in November of 2012, but reopened in November 2013 with a new dance floor, some new menu items, the old themed nights, and an expanded bar. They reduced the opening hours to evening service on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then it closed as a restaurant in 2018. However, the space is still used for catering.
Okay, I'm on Google Maps desperately trying to find it, so that explains why I can't.
Yeah, they announced the closure with a note on the door that read, effective August 1st, 2018, the cafe will provide catering and event services only. We are only available for all your celebratory and event needs. To all of our loyal customers, we thank you for your faithful patronage and support. Kiana currently works in branding and marketing. Kingston Cafe aired on April 15th, 2011. The episode was filmed in January 2011. And this says it's fucking Kitchen Nightmare Season 4, Episode 8. So, I don't know what to believe in these seasons. Because, according to Hulu, this is Season 3, Episode 10. And according to YouTube, this is Season 3, Episode 9. And according to this, it's Season 4, Episode 8. Who fucking knows? Who cares? It's the Kingston Cafe. We did it.
Yeah.
The end.
All of that is very confusing. I don't know what to make of any of that.
So, I guess they, like, closed the restaurant permanently in 2018, but they still do catering. But I feel like by now it's probably closed.
Yeah, I can't find anything on Google Maps. But as a very micro famous person that works in a restaurant, once people know that a place is famous, they will leave a Yelp review that says anything at all.
Oh, truly, yeah.
So probably those Yelp reviews are not actually helpful. They're probably... Both scenarios are true, where it could be fantastic and people left reviews that it was bad because it's famous. And also, it might have been terrible and people left reviews that it was great because it is famous. So, yeah, we'll never know. Poor Matt. Never know. I hope he is in movies now.
Yeah, I hope everyone who was there is having a great life and that you're all having a good time. And if you want to come on the podcast and talk to us about your time there... hit me up.
From 12 years later.
I still want to talk to somebody who's been on the show. I would love to. I know they're on Reddit. I know they're on Reddit. I know the people who were on the show. Some of them are on Reddit. And I know that they see my posts on there. So come on the podcast.
Oh, well, yeah, you should absolutely be pursuing those connections.
I don't actually know if they see my posts. I just hope that they do.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm in the Kitchen Nightmare subreddit lurking.
Amazing.
Yeah, any final thoughts on the Kingston Cafe?
No. What a wild ride that was. My thoughts are everywhere.
Truly an emotional roller coaster for you.
Yes, absolutely. I might feel different if I were not about to begin my period, but spoiler alert, I am.
Oh my god, this is gonna be so fun, though, for me to, like, watch you react to these episodes for the first time and, like, hear all your thoughts on the drama. Especially the next episode. You're gonna hate the next episode, but you might also love it.
I can't wait to do, like, a comparison for the old seasons compared to the new season. Because I have a feeling I'm gonna like the old seasons better.
Oh, yeah, they're way more dramatic, for sure. Like, the next episode is all fighting, because it's a sibling thing.
Oh, shit, yeah, that resonates.
Yeah, because it's, so next week we're doing Lafrite, which is a French restaurant in California that has been open for, like, 40 years, and I just know all this off the top of my fucking head, oh my god, and it's owned by, like, this French guy who's the dad, but he wants to pass it on to his kids, a son and a daughter, but the son thinks it's, like, his right to own the restaurant because he's, like, the oldest in the son. But the daughter is the one who actually knows how to run it. So they, like...
It's because he's the eldest boy! I'm the eldest boy!
He literally whines about that. Like, you're gonna hate him.
Oh my god, he's gonna succession.
So stay tuned next week for that mess.
Oh my god.
But yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Welcome back to the new year with the new year, old episodes.
Hey, new year, old me.
New year, old me. Still on my bullshit.
Old phone, who dis?
Yeah, old phone, who dis? I didn't save your number. I'm the worst at that. Like, not to go on another tangent. I am so bad at saving people's numbers.
I have no reaction to that. I'm sorry.
I have your number saved, but it's because I give you funny photos as your, like, little, like, thing.
Also, you've had my number since 2014. I would hope you saved it.
Oh my god, we've known each other for 10 years officially.
We've known each other for 10 goddamn years.
Happy anniversary.
Oh my god.
This would have been about the time we would have started school again, yeah. Then we were in the class together.
That's information. We did it.
That's insane that I have to go, like, lay on the floor now.
That's information.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to another rousing episode of Ramsay's Recaps.
Come back next week.
Come back next week for a French disaster. The best kind, honestly.
Hey.
If you want to see more of us, follow us on Instagram at Ramsay's Recaps.
Yeah, I'll follow start me on posting Instagram. On that again.
Eventually, yeah.
I didn't post for a while, but that didn't mean we weren't there.
I have literally made the Bernie Sanders meme to send to Alana.
Look, in my defense, I was tired.
I mean, that's fair. I own a small business at Courtney's Kitchen 420 on Instagram, and having to post on Instagram every day is fucking exhausting. So,
what a way to plug.
Yeah, so follow at Courtney's Kitchen 420 for all your 420 needs. And you can follow me on Instagram at Courtney Sile.
And you can find me most places on the internet at Alana Fine Women. The more you blow up this podcast and the more you tag me on TikTok and stuff, the more likely it is that Gordon Ramsay might notice us.
Which is both amazing and horrifying at the same time.
No, I can't wait.
I cannot wait. Gordon Ramsay, also Guy Fieri. I know this podcast isn't about you, but, like, I'll make one about you if you want to hang.
Oh my god.
Once we're done with all the Gordon Ramsay,
I'll make a podcast about you if you want to hang.
Diners, Drive-ins, and Podcasts. Anyways, see you next week. Bye.
Bye.